Hi, I'm Debbie. I'm an addict.
Debbie!
Can you hear me? Because I feel like you can't. Well, I don't know what to do with this thing. Okay. Still no? There are a lot of people here. I hear speakers say that every year when I come to this. And it's like, okay, come on. Yeah, there are a lot of people here. My sobriety date is September 9th, 2006. And I'm truly grateful to God and to the Fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous for that. I know it is definitely God that brought me here and brought me to all you people, and you all have taught me a lot about myself. Quinn said to me, how the heck did they get you to speak here? Quinn had asked me to speak at the pig roast a couple years. It was a fundraiser for the cause convention that you guys held, and I turned it down. I wish that I would have spoken at that one. There are a lot less people there, I'm pretty sure. But the way that it happened was that I got a call like a week after the Illinois Area Convention. I had just had dinner with Rick and Ann, and I had a 414 number calling me, and I didn't have it saved, and I was like, oh, who's this? And it was Ann, and she asked me to speak here. I said, oh, my God, about 25 times, I think. Then I said, because this is my first time giving a lead in 5.5 years, I really wanted to get out of it. And so I said I would need to call Monster and talk to her. And she said, oh, your sponsor's standing right next to me. So here I am. So thank you to the committee for asking me to speak. And thank you to the cooks. I'm sure that the spaghetti was great. I'll eat it after I'm done here. I didn't want to lose my food. Also, you know, Diane mentioned that I come to Wisconsin a lot, and it's really awesome to be able to drive an hour away and to know so many wonderful people and to really, truly call you guys friends. You know, there was a time where I felt somewhat alone in my home state, and there were some people here who really reached out to me, and I have real true friends, something that I did not know about when I was out there. And just getting all the particulars done first, to my friends in Illinois, you know, who were there the day that I walked in, and who've stuck with me through thick and thin, and for all coming out to support me. It really means a lot to have you guys here. Welcome to the newcomer. I was where you all were at one point. We were all where you guys were. And I was scared shitless, you know. I didn't think it was possible to recover from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. That's not what I did. I was effed up, you know, and I didn't know how I was going to get better. And you know, that sobriety countdown, I love it because it really does give me hope that, you know, if you stick with this program, good things happen. So I'm going to say what my friend Kim S. always says at the beginning of her lead. Everything I know about myself today is a direct result of working the 12 steps of Cocaine Anonymous. I say it every time I speak at treatment because it's the truth. Book tells me to tell you, in a general way, what it used to be like, what happened, what it's like today. So I have to tell you a little bit about where I came from. God, I'm nervous. That wasn't enough. Come on. Oh. God, I've done better than that for you all. I came from what I thought was a very normal family. I did a portion of my fifth step today. It's not completely normal. I do have two parents. My dad is not my biological father. My biological father died a couple weeks before I was born. My mom met my dad when I was 3 years old, and they got together, and my dad has been my dad ever since. I don't know any other dad. I love him. It's been a tumultuous relationship, though. There were really good times with my dad, and there were some really not so good times with my dad. But, you know, I'm grateful for what my parents have given me. And, you know, at the end of the day, I really do know that they love me. I know it might not be the case for everyone. Everyone's got a different story. This is my story, clearly. So along with my dad came two daughters from a previous marriage. They were about 15 and 17 years older than me, and they really didn't want much to do with me. And it was the first feelings of rejection that I felt from women. And I wanted their attention, affection, and approval. And I wanted to do something to make them love me. And they really weren't interested. Maybe it was because they were a lot older than me. Maybe it was because I had their dad and my mom, and we had a happy family, and, you know, it wasn't that way for them. Today, I realize that they went through what they went through, and maybe it affected them, just like I went through what I went through with my parents, and it has affected me. Also, I did not pick up drugs because of the relationship with my parents. You know, I picked up drugs because everyone was doing it. And, you know, I wanted to be a part of. And I wanted to see what all the hype was about. In school, since I was very young, I hated school. It wasn't that I couldn't do it. It was just I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to exert any effort. I would rather be doing something else, thinking about something else, than what I need to be doing for myself. I got a little bit older. Wait, let me back up. The first thing I can remember, as far back as I remember not turning in my homework. Spelling was my favorite subject, and I just wouldn't do it, just for the hell of it. I got a little bit older, and I started hanging out with a group of friends that I felt were accepting of me. There were other people that were accepting of me, but I didn't think that they were cool enough. You know, I always need to fit in with better than, you know, for some reason. It's just fear, it's ego, pride. But I became friends with these people, and they started doing drugs. And can I have my water? It's your time to shine.
I did that just for you.
My friend started smoking pot, and I was really scared to tell them that I didn't want to smoke pot, so I told them that I smoked pot with another group of friends. So that they would be off my back. I was like, I would never do such a thing. So I did ecstasy instead. For the older people, ecstasy was like Quaaludes. I hear all about these Quaaludes, and I don't know anything about it, but ecstasy was, it was the shit. you know, for a while, it was the shit. And after a while, it turned me into a piece of shit. You know, the first time that I did ecstasy, I felt like I was a part of. I mean, there was no doubt about it in my mind. Like, we were all friends. When you do ecstasy, everyone is happy, everyone's cool. I had no consequences when I was in high school. I picked up, you know, ecstasy when I was 17 years old. And, you know, I had drank a little bit here and there. I liked the effect it produced. It got me out of my head. I'm always in my head. I'm completely in my head right now as I speak. but, you know, with ecstasy, there was no mind involved in that. Brain was mush, and it was great, you know. Everyone loved each other, and it was all good. I would save my lunch money during the week so that I could party on the weekend, you know, and I worked, and all my money went to drugs, but it was cool because I didn't have any bills to pay, and I lived at home with my parents. They didn't know what was going on. I was telling them bold-faced lies straight to their face. Wow, everyone at school is doing this thing called ecstasy. I can't believe that they would do such a, I mean, why I felt the need to bring it up and, you know, it's just twisted. I went away to college, not because I wanted to, but because my parents wanted me to, and that's what I did. And I failed out of college because I was partying. And there was no ecstasy down at school, and people were offering me coke, and I said I would never put that in my nose. That was disgusting. It was a disgusting habit. So I drank a lot, and then I started smoking pot. You know, after the ecstasy hurdle, I was able to smoke a little weed. And I was blackout drinking. I did not know it at the time. I thought everyone at college drinks. Everyone at college does drink. That's what you do. But other people went to class. Other people graduated and drank. I smoked pot and drank all the time. I didn't even bother going to class. Why even bother showing up? I failed out. My parents said, come home, we're not paying for this anymore. So I came home and I got a job. And I met a guy at a job. And I like guys. guys, it's okay. Guys are my other drug of choice. It sounds funny, but it is, for me, it's serious. Guys alter my mind and my mood. The guys that I choose for myself oftentimes seem to be my problem and the solution to my problem. It's sick and twisted. Who is laughing? Okay. So I met this guy, and it was great. And he honestly, he was the best one that I ever chose. We're not together, but we are still friends. And we lived together, and when we broke up, I was feeling very, very alone. He moved out of the apartment, and I was looking to take my mind off of things. And I called up my old friends that I used to do X with, and they were doing coke. And I was offered cocaine a couple times, and I said no the first two times, and on the third time, I said, what the hell? And I did it, and I didn't even like it. The first time I did it, I was like, all right, I'm talking more than usual. I don't really get the purpose of this. So next weekend, we got it a bag. And because that's what you do when you don't see a purpose, right? You should put more shit up your nose. I told my friend that I would never buy it until the next weekend. And it was like, okay, we'll split a bag. Okay, you get a bag and I'll get a bag. Okay, you get a bag, I'll get a bag. I'll pinch from your bag. I'll hide shit around the house. It got out of control very, very quickly. I only used cocaine for 10 months. And thank God that it was enough for me. You know, I hear a lot of stories about people that went on for years and years. And all I can say is that it doesn't have to go on for years and years. You are here tonight, and relapse doesn't have to be a part of the story. You can work these steps, and we can recover. And you can do it now. And the faster you do the steps, faster you will get to the solution. Steps are the solution. Anyways, so I you know, started doing a lot of coke, and I lost the power of choice very, very quickly. You know, people would show up at my house on the off chance that I had gone to sleep, and it'd be like 4 a.m. I have to work at 8 a.m. And they'd show up and they'd hold a bag in front of my face. Obviously, I was going to party. There's no other choice at 4 a.m. on a work night than to tell them to go away. So we partied, and you know, I remember like calling in sick to work, and or saying that I would be in at 10 o'clock and then not showing, and my boss calling me and asking me where I was. And I didn't even remember my own lies to my boss. You know, everything was a lie in my life. I was paranoid that my parents would show up at my place. Life was crumbling rather quickly. I was dating someone who was a heroin addict, and he told me that I had a problem. And I was like, fuck you. Whatever. It was insane for me to hear that I had a problem. Like, drug addicts have a problem. I'm not a drug addict, right? Drug addicts live under a bridge. Drug addict is someone who can't look at themselves in the mirror, whose life has, you know, gone to shit, who, you know, who wants to stop doing what they're doing and can't stop. And that was me. I could not stop what I was doing. I was like, oh, if I go out to eat before I go to the house that everyone's partying at, then surely I won't do blow. So like I said, it was 10 months of using, and in 10 months I blew through 10 grand. You know, the eviction notice was on the door. I was getting consequences. Consequences won't keep you sober, but it sure as shit made it, uncomfortable. When that guy told me that I needed help, I was like, well, where do you go for help? And he said, go to a meeting. And I said, well, what kind of meeting? I had never gone to treatment. It is not part of my story. And he told me to go to AA. And I was like, I'm not an alcoholic. I now know that I'm an alcoholic. I didn't see myself as that at that point in time. So he told me to go to NA or to go to CA. And I said, what's CA? I heard of NA. I heard of AA. He said, Cocaine Anonymous. I'm home. Cocaine Anonymous is the place for me. He suggested that I tell my parents what was going on. He did not know my parents because I didn't bring the addict around the parents. Had he known my parents... Maybe he wouldn't have suggested that, but I'm God placed that gentleman in my life for a reason. And I went and I told my mom that I had been using all their money, on top of the full-time job, and then on top of the savings, and on top of everything, and I was about to tap into my 401k, my parents were giving me $400 a month because they felt bad that... you know, my ex-boyfriend had moved out. So, you know, I was using a ton of money. And, you know, so I went and I told them that I had been using all their money. And this is what I had been doing for the past however many months. And my mom looked at me and she said, well, either you're going to get help or you're going to die. Figure it out. And that was pretty harsh. I was like, damn, thought you loved me. She did love me. Thank God that that's what she did. You know, she didn't pat my ass, you know, give me a hug, you know. She was sick with what she heard me say. And I called the Cocaine Anonymous hotline. And I still don't know who I talked to this day. And he directed me to a meeting. And I didn't realize that you're supposed to go to meetings like on a daily basis when you first get sober. So that was Wednesday. So I was like, okay, I'll go on Saturday. That way I can like mull it over with some drinks on Friday night, because I also didn't know that you're not supposed to drink. I was going to Cocaine Anonymous. Not narcotics, plural, or alcohol, you know. I just have a problem with cocaine. So I got wasted on Friday night because I'm not an alcoholic, so that's okay. So like 5 bottles of wine later, shots, drinks, I'm in the bathroom calling the guy. I cannot drink without doing drugs, and I can't do drugs without drinking. And so, by the grace of God, I called 3 guys that night, my guys, and, none of them were around to get me my shit. And so my sobriety date is 9/9/2006, because if I would have gotten blow that night, there's no way in hell that I would have made it that next morning to my first meeting on a Saturday morning. I walked into that first meeting, and Dave, you said you cried for the first 3 months listening to other people share. I cried for myself. Poor me. I can't believe that I am a drug addict and that this is what it's come to be. I cried at every single meeting. You know, at that first meeting, there were only 2 or 3 other men there. There were no women at my first meeting. And since I like guys, I asked one of them to sponsor me, because they told me, you know, to get a sponsor. And I'm so grateful that that guy gave me a list of females. And he said, just call someone. And I hear so many people say, I'm waiting for the right sponsor, you know. Like, I'm still looking. The hell are you looking for? Every sponsor is temporary. You can change at any time. Just get a sponsor and start working the steps, because that is your only hope. That I know of, I should say. This is all that's worked for me. So I called someone, and she met me at a meeting the next morning. And there were like 30 people at that meeting. And so the woman who was giving the lead was talking about how she was out the night before at her niece's bachelorette party. Oh, and they're young and they're having a great time. They can do that. I was like, seriously? I'm 24 years old. I can't do that. You know, I had had enough at 24. It was done. I started working with that sponsor. That sponsor didn't have time. I got a new sponsor. You know, I started working the steps, and things started to happen. Life got better. Life is not great every day. You know, there's days that are really, really shitty. But there are a hell of a lot more good days than there are bad days today. And when there's a bad day, you know, I know, first of all, God hasn't brought me this far to drop me on my ass. And it's just like such a simple thing, but it's the truth. God, you know, has taken care of me. God has brought me through, you know, a lot of crap and sobriety, self-made, because when I impose my will, shitty things happen. You know, got a sponsor, started working steps. Speaking of God, I... hello. you know, because I got sober, I've had the opportunity to do some traveling, and I've gone to some world conventions. I've had some really good times in Cocaine Anonymous. And... we took a trip to Denver for the World Convention. We did a lot of very spiritual things in Denver. One of which was we took a ride up through Estes Park, Colorado, up through the Rocky Mountains. And God was all around us, and it brought me to tears. They thought that I just had altitude sickness, but I swear to God, God was all around me. And to see how big he is, and that he got me, this little person who really feels that I don't even deserve to be standing up here in the room full of so many other awesome people. You know, he got little me sober, and he created all these mountains and everything. It is just like, it's breathtaking. Let's see. What else? I have notes. Service work. Can't go wrong with that. Cocaine Anonymous saved my life. It gave me a life. And I'm responsible to make sure that it's here for the next person. You know, recently I've done a different kind of service work than I had done in years past. For a long time, I thought that service work was all about doing committee work. And I love being on a service committee and voicing my opinion. I am so hot right now. There's also something to be said for working the steps with another addict. And I really feel like that has happened for me this year. I went through a situation in my life, and I was desperate. I was picking up my 5-year chip, and I was thinking that I'd rather be drinking. My sponsor instilled on me that I need to get out of myself. And I need to work with a woman like my life depends on it. Because it did. And so I prayed every day for God to place someone in my life that, you know, I could be of service to and just carry the message to. Carry the message a lot better one-on-one than up here. And God gave me, like, 3 or 4 women all at once. And thank you, because I was in a really, 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 really bad situation with a guy. And, you know, it seemed like the only solution was to pick up at that point in time. I didn't even give a shit anymore. And a lot of you guys in this room know how crazy it was. And I started working the steps and with another woman, and to see them light up, to read through the doctor's opinion, to understand, you know, that this is a disease, and that you know, I have a mental obsession, which was clearly coming out in this other area of my life, and that once I start, I can't stop, and I can't stop starting. I heard someone here say that. The only answer is to find a power greater than myself, and then to do his will. I say his, hers, whatever. You can choose whatever higher power you want. I promise you I did. And so I'm so grateful for the women that are in my life that keep me focused. And I said that being on a committee is not the most important thing, but it is really important. I love what you said about if every person did just one thing, things would go pretty smoothly. You know, service work gave me a feeling of self-worth. I got onto the convention committee, and I didn't think I could do what they wanted me to do. And now you can't get me away from convention committee. And I do contracts with hotels sometimes, you know, and it's just like, oh my God, like, I never thought that I could do this. So get involved with service. You meet a lot of awesome people all over the world. I don't really have a whole lot much more to say other than thanks.